Welcome to JasonCable.com's GLBT Phlegmcast. No, actually, it's a podcast. I have to excuse my voice here. I mean, it's not quite my Lauren Bacall voice, but it's getting there. I had this checked out today on a Sunday, of all days, and the quote-unquote doctor, who's really a physician's assistant, basically just gave me a decongestant. So I'm like, okay, sore throat, decongestant. All right, I can handle that. And so that's what I'm on. So hopefully I won't sound too terrible. I do have to apologize for the last podcast. That was pretty fucked up. I mean, I was like hyper and just, I don't know where it came from. I mean, I really don't know where it came from. So we are going to get on with our regularly scheduled program and talk about friends, now in a good way. Now, when I moved to Pittsburgh, it was interesting because anytime you move to a new location, I find it very difficult to make friends, really, with anyone. You know, you get familiar with the people you work with, and that's always a good thing. Familiarity with the people you work with and spend 40 hours a week with is a very good thing. I mean, you end up spending more time with the guys from work than the two cats at home, and that always drives me nuts. But whatever. So we've been going out a lot and drinking, of course. And there have been some interesting conversations. And you know what? I know that I've been overbearing at times, especially with my LGBT propaganda rhetoric. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if that's some kind of defense mechanism I'm throwing up. Like, because it's something I know quite a bit about, I hope. Or am I just afraid to show them my, or do I want to show them my real side and don't know any other way to do it? Interesting question. And good point for conversation. And, you know, one thing you should never do is hit on people you work with, especially the straight ones. Well, I've kind of done that, and I have come to regret it because it was stupid, immature. You know, was it immature or wasn't it? Well, it was definitely stupid. And I'm not sure if it's a sign of maturity or just the fact that I'm so frustrated in life that I like jump on anything at this point. And that's not a good thing. You know, I'm one of those people who needs to be in a dedicated serial monogamous relationship, I think. And I'm not. I'm not getting laid. It's a little rough patch, but, you know, I did come on overbearing and just gay all the time. So whether I realized it or not, I think this was subconscious. I kind of turned that off and just acted normally. And if, you know, gay questions came into the conversation, of course I'd answer them. You know, I wouldn't totally shut down, but that's not the only thing you can talk about. It's like going out with people from work and not talking about work. And the question that bears to mind is, well, are GLBT issues the only things on our minds? And of course, the answer is no. Why do we make it such a big point for them to be heard? To be understood, to be embraced, and to be accepted. Is it our want and our longing for acceptance in society? Well, I think we've come a long way there. At least, even in Pittsburgh, I'm finding that people are accepting. And I think some part of it that helps me is humor, because anyone can make a joke, and I don't care. I don't get angry. I don't get frustrated. If someone calls me a faggot, so be it. I don't care if someone says the word faggot. You know, is it like the quote-unquote N-word to the African-American community? Well, I'm not African-American, so I don't know. Or I'm not black, whatever. Either way, I don't know. Actually, I'm not African-American either, because my ancestry is Northern European, although we can debate that till the cows come home. So what is this that makes us focus on this shit? I mean, right now you're listening to a podcast of a guy ranting about GLBT issues. You know, I don't know. I think they're important. I think our identity as a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersexed, queer, or questioning individual is important to us. I think it is a major issue among us. I think it is a major issue for some of us, like me, wanting to reach out there, reach out to the straight folk, and maybe help them understand a little what we're like. But what I found recently in fostering these friendships is that I've gone to the next level. It's almost like it's a part of me now. It's almost like the fact that I'm gay is a part of the relationship. It is a known factor. And not just known, but understood. And it's part of who I am. You know, it's like someone having brown hair. You don't have to talk about your damn brown hair all the time. And it's great that it's gone that way. And there are jokes at my expense. And I like that. You know, if I was blonde, I probably wouldn't mind blonde jokes. You know, to me, it's close to the same thing. And that's important. And I think it's important for us all, really. You know, being comfortable in our own skin, which I was in New Jersey, then I move here, I get around new people. I'm not very good around new people and people I don't know, but I have made some very good friends and some people who mean a lot to me. And it's very important for me to be accepted, to feel accepted, and just to be invited to go out for a drink is, you know, one of the biggest honors anyone can give me. The feeling is, it's ethereal to me. This may sound corny and it's like, what the hell's he doing? Smoking pot? No, I'm not smoking pot. But I'm feeling accepted, and you know, that's one of the best things that you can feel. And for so long, I didn't have that. And well, let's take a short break and then I'll be back. I need to get a drink.
You've been listening to a friend of PodCamp Pittsburgh. Want to learn about podcasting, blogging, and other new forms of electronic media? Visit PodCampPittsburgh.com to learn more about this free and conference. August 18th and 19th. And now back to the show.
You know, another problem of mine is keeping relationships between people. I've lived in several places, several states, and for me, it's very difficult to continue a relationship with a person that's long distance or that you don't have contact with every day. You know, having the people you work with is as friends is very important to me. And there are people like in New Jersey that I love dearly. And there are people in Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, that I love dearly, including a very good organist friend of mine. You know, I need to go out to see her, but it's like, well, who has the time? And even emailing is difficult. I don't know why. But, oh, sorry. I definitely know that it takes both sides to keep these relationships and things going. And once you meet so many people, I mean, how do you, that you're never going to physically run into, how do you keep that alive? How do you keep those friends and still move on? Moving states, moving towns, moving to a different country. I'm not very good at that. And I don't think a lot of people are. I think it's human nature. I think it's part of our human nature that the people we have constant contact with, one way or another, are the people in our lives. And if that contact is by phone, you know, that's one way we've evolved. You know, contact with people from outside or from a former place where you lived used to be by sending a message or a note, writing a note. And people did that diligently. And we don't do that in society or in this culture, at least. You know, maybe other cultures are different, but in today's hectic lifestyles, we don't do that. We don't even spend time to send a damn email. Now, in one way we've evolved, another way I'm not good at, telephone, you know, then the telephone came along. Then you could reach out and touch someone. That was AT&T's motto throughout the 80s. Reach out and touch someone. And you could just call someone, you know, several countries away. And it was no big deal. It wasn't cheap, but it was no big deal. And do I do that? No. Then came email and IM and all that sort of stuff. I'm not very good at keeping up with that either. It takes time from our busy schedules, our busy lives. And the more focused people get on advancing their career, on finding a partner, on financing a new house, on whatever, you know, the less time we have for those relationships, because relationships form the basis of our lives. I mean, they do, really, unless you're a hermit. And let me tell you, that's not a fun life. You know, my photo book is out. It's called Seven Lonely Years. Yeah, I did have some friends, but a lot of them were more of acquaintances because I was afraid to really open myself up to loving people. And I know now that I do have this profound sense of friendship and warmth and love with some people from my past. And I just wish I would have shown it more then. I wish I would have, you know, asked for help when I was in need or invited them over, him or her or the couple over for dinner more, or gone to more of their parties or ask them out to go to dinner. I mean, and that's what I'm doing now. And it is making a difference in my life. And I think that's how you start building on relationships. I think you need to start, you know, let's say you move to a new place. Make some really good friends at work. And then they may introduce you to other people. And I have met other people through those people, etc. Yes, you are creating a social network, which is one of the things people are trying to do online now, is create these social networks so you're keeping people updated without having to email each and every person individually. You know, that's the point of blogs and things like MySpace and Twitter, you name it. I am on Twitter now. God. But, you know, that's the whole point of these things, I guess. And it's to continue those friendships. And you will have a better life if you have more friends. I truly think so. And I can't help these people work enough for putting up with me in my pain in the assiness, because I have been a pain. Hopefully not too nasty. Hopefully I haven't flirted too much. Right now it's more jokingly. And, you know, it means a lot to me. That's all I'm going to say. So, I was overbearing on the GLBT issues, and I think we all can be at times. There's a time and a place for everything, and really, when you don't have any GLBT friends, quote-unquote, that you actively hang out with and talk with and go to coffee shops with and go to bars with and just yammer on about the latest state of affairs of gay marriage in the country or civil unions, whatever, you know, you're going to want to talk about that stuff to someone else. And sorry, that can be overbearing. It can be too much, but when they've put up with your shit, they've gone over the threshold of, accepting you as who you are for what you are, and that's all anyone really should want, then truly you have a great and hopefully lasting relationship with yourself and with others. You know, I've been trying to figure out, you know, this what I believe in. I don't know what I believe in anymore, honestly. But I'm, you know, people always say, well, think of yourself first or put yourself first in your life. And for me, making these friendships is helping to define who I am in seeing how I interact with others and finding out more about my true self and my true identity and my true personality. So, please sign up on the website, jasoncable.com, so you can post replies to the blog entries. Hopefully, I'm trying to keep up on them, but I'm really busy writing the book for PodCamp and actually writing a book in general entitled Advanced Web Hosting for Podcasters and Bloggers. And right now I'm at 36 pages, and I probably have another 36 to write. So it will be done for PodCamp. But until next time, I'm your host, Jason Cable, saying good night.